Good to be back in this pulpit. It's kind of different, but familiar and the same, and good. God has always blessed me here. Now, I don't know who put baby powder on this lectern, but I'm about to... It's going to get to me here in a minute. If I throw things and yell, you'll know what happened. It's always a great time to worship in New Hope. I love the music. I was sitting back there crying during one of those songs, and it just, well, it kills me off. You know me, I'm going to be okay. We'll be all right. It feels good to be back here, to feel your love, to get your hugs, to see my Christian family. Sometimes you stay away too long, and that's hard on you, it really is. As most of you know, my name is Ed Hetherington, and I've been on an incredible life journey for 56 years now. 56. I have to look in the mirror to remember how old I am, because I don't feel 56, unless I'm just getting out of bed and I've been there longer than about 5 hours. Then I know for sure. But the last 8 years of that journey in my life have been marked by some high points and some really serious low points too. And if I let that journey, if I let that experience go, if I didn't use that, if I didn't make it count to teach the children of God about Him, about His nature, about who He is, then I'm no good, am I? And so, I'm going to talk to you about something this morning. It's the place in our lives where the things of our invisible God become visible. Sometimes in our lives, we're cruising along autopilot, you know. Everything's good. You're going to work, you're coming home. It's kind of boring, really. Some of you even hate that part of your lives. Don't hate that. Love it. It's good. That's the good part, right? Everybody's doing well. God seems kind of quiet, though. And so you're not really sure. And then you get to the points in your life where things get tough. And God has to speak a little louder for you to hear Him. He has to get visible. And you know, it's not God messing up when He becomes visible to us. We get a glimpse of Him because He reveals Himself to us in different ways so that by faith we can be comforted, strengthened, healed, even given joy in times that are tough. He does this reveal so that we can then testify to others whom we encounter in our lives about His presence, about His grace. And let's just call this thing that I'm talking about His visible love in our lives, because that's what it is. God becomes visible in our lives at times. And sometimes it's very apparent, not just to us, but to people all around us. There were some hard times in my life, most of which had to do with Sandy having cancer. Now, that's not an easy thing to be when you're the helpless and healthy person in a couple that has cancer. It's not easy to be the one battling it either, I'm sure. But when you're the hand holder, it's really a tough road sometimes. I thought about it, and I went to the doctor this past week just for checkup, guys. Nothing wrong with me that I know of other than being crazy. But my doctor came into the room, and he said, "Hi, my name's Kevin," because he has a real gift for sarcasm, because I've known him for a long time. But I hadn't been there in over 5 years because I was focused on somebody else, not me, Because that's what love is all about, you know. When you're the healthy one in that partnership, you focus on taking care of your partner and you try to be strong for them and you ignore yourself. And through all of those treatments and doctor visits and scans and surgeries and procedures and then the eventual death of Sandy, I didn't allow myself very much time to deal with what was going on. And most people thought, when they looked at me, that I must have been like a super saint. You know, oh, he's got all this faith. He's okay. Or they thought I was Superman, you know. He's strong. Yeah, he's a bad dude, right? Or maybe they looked at me and thought, he doesn't feel anything. He's gotten himself numb to all this. And they just didn't know. How in the world could I keep on walking upright through all of that stuff that I was going through? Well, it wasn't me and my power at all. And people like all of you who knew what I was going through were praying for God to give me strength. Whew. And he was doing that. He was doing that. When I needed to be strong, he was keeping me strong. Because you were praying and he was hearing you. Whew. I can't even see. Give me a second. You might be glad to know I didn't make this very long. He was giving me some really, really cool strength. I've been able to work a physically crushing job for months at a time on just a few hours of sleep, and I'm not exaggerating that at all. And people were watching. And they'd say, how do you do that? And it's like, it's not me. I don't do that. I'm not that strong. I'm not that tough. God was visible to other people through my own life circumstances. And as a result, there was this testimony about how much God holds us up in our weakest moments. Last week, I was talking to a friend of mine I hadn't seen in about 6 years. We work in the same place. You'd think I'd see him all the time. I see him in video segments. I'm a trainer up front, and he's still working online. But he's a pretty face, and he ends up in these video segments. And we laugh about his pretty face because he's gained a little bit of weight, and he doesn't think he's pretty. But I was talking to him, and I said, you know, Steve, when I was at my absolute lowest points, God was at his best. God's point of visible love revealed actually happened in my footsteps. That's the weirdest thing for me to stop and think and look at. God was showing himself to other people through my footsteps. And I'm not worthy of that. And I'm not that strong. I was just living moment by moment, and he was showing himself to people around me in answer to your prayers for me to have strength. Think about that a minute. And think about why this is tough for me this morning. Because I'm looking at people that have prayed for me and have loved me. And it's your fault that I'm standing upright, okay? Because you prayed and God answered. And it's your stinking fault. And you know, God's been doing that same kind of thing. Thank goodness I'm getting off of that for a minute. He's been doing that same kind of thing for centuries too. He really has. If you read in the book of Daniel, there's the three young men who were thrown into the furnace. And God preserved them through some amazing things so that there would be testimony in front of an arrogant king and in front of a nation that didn't believe in God. And Jesus also did this stuff in person with his miraculous healings from disease, his casting out of evil spirits, even resurrecting people from the dead. And you know something? I want to tell you something. A lot of people think this is old-fashioned, but God doesn't change. Okay? I want you to know that. God doesn't change. He doesn't get modern era. He doesn't stay old-fashioned because God is the same from eternity to eternity. He doesn't have to change. He knows everything that there is to know. He doesn't have to adjust. See, I have to adjust as I age because I used to think that I knew what I was doing, and now I know good and well I don't have a clue. So I had to make an adjustment there. God doesn't have to do that. He doesn't have to change. thank God for that. One of the times that God gave a visible manifestation of his love to man was when he tested Abraham's faith. If I didn't put the Bible in this message, you'd really throw rocks at me, wouldn't you? Abraham's life was blessed by the Lord God's presence numerous times, and many were able to see God through his life. He had a son named Isaac in his old age. His wealth and success, they were part of his testimony as well. God had really blessed him as he walked. But God needed something bigger than all of that. He needed an eternal portrayal of his love for all of mankind. And he used this man. He needed to give all of us in the future, today, a visual of the sacrifice of his son Jesus Christ for our sins. And it was something beyond the scope of the human mind. Can you really think about God sacrificing his son for you? Can you take all of that in as a human being? I still can't get it all. I can study it and study it and study it. Why would he love me that much? I don't know. I'm not worthy of that. But I'm his child. And he loves me. And so he does what he does. Because he's God. God needed a way to introduce that concept to his creation. And so he used Abraham. Everybody loves a good story. I'm going to tell you the story from the Bible. God tested Abraham and he said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Can you imagine that? God speaks to me. I'm going to say, put me in jail. I'm crazy. Something. Restrain me, please. Here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him. There is a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set about for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, he said, Father? Yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and wood are here, Isaac said, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took his knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up. And there in a thicket, he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. The angel of the Lord called Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. And so God used his servant Abraham to bring to us a visual of him laying his one and only son, Jesus Christ, out as a sacrifice for us. And we utilize our own worship visualization of this very same truth in our communion celebration that we have. We visualize God's love over and over. Why are we surprised when he uses our lives to show other people his love? God's love for us can be visible and tangible. And you know, I really didn't get a handle on how much until I needed him so much just to survive day to day. Again, many of you were praying for me after Sandy passed away, and I thought that I would be okay, you know? Sure, it hurts to lose your life partner, and I'd had 7 years to think about that, but what was really hurting was all the things that I hadn't dealt with because I was busy being strong. So you were praying for me as I was walking a pretty hard path, and I'm going to tell you something. I spend a lot of time on my back patio, sitting in a little metal chair, doing a lot of this, crying, screaming at the woods. My neighbors probably think I'm crazy if they could hear me. Suffering from something I can't describe. And I know what the scripture means that says the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groans. And God was answering all your prayers the whole time. He was answering. At those times even, He was holding me up, protecting me, giving me what I needed. But He allowed me to look kind of broken and messed up to people that knew me, and they kept messing with me. Golly, they would mess with me. One guy that I know sent me like 12 to 15 text messages in a row. That doesn't seem funny to you until you know that I hate texting. I used to have a little slide phone. You ever try texting on one of those? This same guy used to send me text messages all the time back then. And I'd send him one word answers. And he was like, one time he asked, "What is wrong with you?" And I said, "Nothing. You do that on this phone." But God also sent a beautiful person into my world at that point when I was hurting. A beautiful person. And when Donna talks about meeting me for the first time, she talks about feeling my spirit being in an awful amount of pain. I didn't know I was telegraphing all of that. I just was surviving one step at a time, you know. And she reached out to me and said that if I needed to talk, she'd be there. And the first thing I saw in her was her faith and her loving heart. And I thought, that's a nice person. But I wasn't looking for a nice person. I was just surviving one step at a time, and I just kind of ignored her at first. Like I said, I always did hate texting, but you know, nobody can tell if you're crying when you're texting. They can tell if you're crying when you're talking on a phone. And at some point, I started texting Donna, because that was easier than letting her know that I was in misery. And what I didn't even realize until much later was how much pain that she was actually in. There she was encouraging me. She was giving me strength to keep going, talking me through hard places. I'll never forget the day that I got that life insurance check from Sandy's passing. That was the most awful feeling of finality that I've ever had in my life. And that was my friend that carried me that day. And what you guys don't realize when I'm talking about that is that she is an answer to your prayers to God to give me strength too.
God is good.
Amen. Amen. Donna's the way that God answered a lot of your prayers and mine. She gave me an impartial ear. Somebody that hadn't known me for years as a minister. And I could just be me at the bottom of my pit. And she didn't judge me. She just gave me love and carried me along. And I got to noticing her. Because God kind of had that in the works, I believe. I got to know her a little better, and I realized because I listened that she'd also suffered some emotional trauma and loss and yet was helping me. And I thought, where did she find that kind of a heart? Oh, thank you, God. Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty unique how He works things out. Pretty amazing. And I asked her if I could get closer. And I cooked dinner for us. Yeah, I can cook. And I began to talk instead of just text. And we've been amazed at how God placed us in each other's lives right when we needed that the most. For both of us. And so we strengthen each other and carry each other. I took Donna on a hike one Sunday. Up in the woods, there's a hill that I love. It's a place of healing for me personally. Beautiful big place out there. Nothing. Nobody's out there. It's just the middle of nowhere. And I love to be out in the wilderness, you know. And I thought, I'm going to show her a little bit of who I am in here, you know. Took a little communion set with us and a big old hunting knife, because you always have to have a hunting knife if you're out in the woods, and a Bible, and all those things go together. Threw that in a backpack. It was my breakdown backpack in the car, you know. I just threw that stuff in there. And so we walked out there and sat on this huge boulder that overlooks, it's on a hillside, and it overlooks the hardwoods, and it's just beautiful. It's just a beautiful area. And we're sitting there, and I'm talking to her, you know. And it's a pretty holy moment, really is. And I started getting the stuff out because we were going to take communion, and I got to talking to her about the story of Abraham being tested. And, you know, I'm just pulling stuff out of the backpack, and I pull this big old Kershaw hunting knife out. Some of you caught that, but really wasn't conscious that I was holding this big old hunting knife. It was still in the sheath, in my defense, but she started getting really nervous. And I said, you're familiar with the story of Abraham? She said, yeah. Can I hold the knife? And I looked at her, and I thought, oh. And I handed her the knife, and she calmed down a little bit, because she was looking around for some wild animal to be trapped in a bush or something. But we did take communion, and then I used that knife to carve our initials in one of the trees on that hill. And then it kind of made sense to her why I had that monstrous knife. You know, God's love for us can be low profile, nothing out of the ordinary. That's truly how things are for the most part in most of our lives. But that's not the way things are sometimes. And you never know when your footsteps are going to be His testimony to other people about how much He loves them through you. His love is revealed to us and others in our lives. Our lives are His storyboards. I just want you to know that. I want you to know that your life is His storyboard. That He speaks through you even when your mouth is shut. He preaches through you even though you never step up in front of people. He introduces His Son to people that are not saved in Christ through your walk. It's a serious thing. It's a beautiful thing. Even in your pain, He speaks. Your lives and the prayers of others combined with God's answer to those prayers are a testimony. Thank you for all your prayers. God heard you. He heard you. They weren't falling on deaf ears. He loves me. He's proven that over and over. And yeah, I can still cry like a baby. Got good tear ducts. And I'm pretty healthy. And I've got a really good support system around me. And I've got really great Christian friends praying for me. Is life still good? Yes. Praise God. Don't be down. Look up. Remember, when you're at your lowest, He's at His best. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for this day, for blessing all of us with your word, with your pictures that you give us of your love. Thank you for Jesus, who is the manifestation of all of that for us. Thank you for bringing us together. I thank you for the songs that we've been singing, for the wonderful feelings that we have for each other. I know that you're the author of all the good things in our lives, and I just pray that you'll continue to bless New Hope, that you'll continue to bless Donna and myself, that you'll bless Debbie and Jay. So many here who walk a little bit of a hard road right now, I just pray that your strength will be theirs, that your heart will be wrapped around them, that you'll testify through them. I just pray for strength and perseverance in Jesus' name.